Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Period Chats podcast. I'm Kate, your host, and as you know, I'm a hormone dietitian and the founder of Funkit Wellness, but more importantly, I am your hormone big sister, best friend, and want to teach you everything I wish I would have known sooner. So we're doing another solo episode because you guys gave me some really great feedback that you like those, so we're going to incorporate more of these throughout the season. There is a guest coming on next week, though, which is going to be really fun. So stay tuned for that. But this week, we are talking about menopause. And if you're in your 20s, 30s, even 40s, and you're like, this does not pertain to me, I'm tuning out. No, this is for you. This is prepping for menopause starting in your 20s. So this is for everyone. Did you know that menopause is after your period stops for a full year? But a lot of what we talk about when it comes to symptoms is actually perimenopause, the 10 years leading up to menopause. So we're going to dive in to all of that because the average age of menopause is 51, but the average age that menopause starts or perimenopause starts is 40. And if you're 29 like me, about to turn 30, 40 is not that far away. So I am going to be prepping and getting my hormones in line now so that I don't experience a 10-year brain fog and crazy hormone fluctuation and perimenopause. So that's a little intro of what we're going to be talking about. But additionally, there is one thing I want to point out. We talk about perimenopause and menopause like they are a disease. They are not a disease progression. They are a natural part of our cycles and aging and our bodies. So they're not necessarily something to be treated, but a lot like when we talk about PMS, painful periods, cramps, any of these things that cause extreme discomfort and alter your life, we need to talk about the symptoms and how we work to alleviate those throughout the life cycle. Because it's not acceptable just for someone to say, I'm having hot flashes, go to their doctor. Oh, it's just part of aging. It's part of menopause. Like, that's not an acceptable answer, especially in 2023. We know that's not the truth. So this episode's all about prepping for menopause. We're going to have a separate episode on if you're in menopause. And we have a really good episode that I'm going to link in here on perimenopause that we did, man, it's been like 2 years. It was one of the most insightful conversations I've had. It was with a midwife and I learned a lot. All right, let's dive in. If you're in your 20s or your 30s, here's how we want to be prepping for menopause. Because if you have a period, menopause is coming and we want to be ready. And menopause is getting a rebrand. Like 51 is so young. 51 is the middle of your life. It's when you're doing a lot of exciting things in your career, if you have a family or whatever it is, we don't have time to be feeling bad. And I've talked to my mom and it can be pretty bad. And so I really want to give everyone the tools to prep now. So number one, if you're in your 20s and 30s and you're learning about menopause, it's time to educate yourself because education is the key here. And one, educate yourself because there's people in your life going through menopause and we need to have a lot more empathy and understanding. But two, we need to know what's normal, what's not normal, how we can fix things, what to talk to our doctors about. It's the same thing. Just like you didn't learn about your period, you didn't learn about menopause. So then when you get to menopause, you don't know what to expect. Obviously, I've not gone through menopause, but I've talked to a lot of people and that's how they felt. So one, start by learning about your hormones. The sooner, the better. You are already listening to this podcast. You are already one step ahead. We are getting there. But you also want to establish what's normal for you now. So here's the thing. This is why working on our hormones is such a rewarding part of health. Because working on our hormone health now, getting our baseline now, which we're going to jump into about lab testing in a minute, helps us to notice when things start to change. So how are your cycles now? Are they regular? Are you experiencing regular ovulation? Do you have painful periods, period cramps, hormonal acne, any of these things you're experiencing now? Let's get to those root causes because like anything, when we're leaving root causes unattended to, it just compounds as we go through different changes in life. So one, in your 20s and 30s, learning about menopause, we're going to educate ourselves on menopause, like the fact that perimenopause and menopause are different, Perimenopause usually starts around age 40, but can start as early as 35. This is the transition into menopause. So the thing about perimenopause that I didn't understand and that I've really been humbled to learn about is when you look at our menstrual cycles, they have a very predictable progression. It's very predictable over the year. When you look at your hormones in perimenopause, testing your hormones in perimenopause, honestly, I've heard a lot of doctors say can be a little bit of a waste of time because they're all over the place. You might be having really long cycles, really short cycles. Your body's kind of trying to get all of these hormones and ovulation done so you can transition into menopause. This can lead, as we know, that hormones can disrupt gut function, brain function, all of these different things. So when we're thinking about perimenopause, we want to be thinking about brain health, bone health, gut health, all the things we're thinking about now, but we want to compare it to our baseline and know what's going on. So that's number one, what perimenopause is. Two, menopause, like I mentioned earlier, people are always shocked when I tell them this. Menopause is actually after you've gone 12 consecutive months without a period, then you enter menopause. So a lot of these symptoms like hot flashes, vaginal dryness, brain fog, lack of sleep, insomnia, cravings, weight gain, they all really start in perimenopause, but we haven't had the terminology yet to talk about that. So that's like one rant about knowing the difference between those two, then also knowing your baseline, having your hormones balanced, and really understanding your normal before we're heading into perimenopause and menopause. Next, we're going to want to focus on exercise for bone health. And I don't know about anybody listening to this, but for me personally, I have had a really complicated relationship with exercise for the sole fact that I always saw exercise as a way to lose weight and be thin. And that is not at all what exercise is. And it has taken me a lot of therapy and a lot of reworking and a lot of relearning to realize exercise is one of the most important protective activities that we can do for our health. I'm listening to a book right now called Outlive. This has given me an infinitely better outlook on exercise, and I'm going to go run after this, and I'm actually looking forward to it. But then I also am taking the cyclical knowledge that I have and matching those together of learning to exercise with my cycle and incorporating these exercises that are good for long-term bone health, which weight-bearing exercise is what's going to be, research has shown to be the best for long-term bone health. This is like weightlifting, which I am a little intimidated by, but I am slowly but surely like getting into yoga, resistance training. So you can find a different bone health exercise for each phase of your cycle. So when we're talking about yoga, this is great for the luteal phase, great for the menstrual phase, for like those slower yoga classes. Pilates in like different resistance exercises, that's going to be great pretty much throughout your entire cycle. Some of these things like running can be really great in your follicular and ovulatory phase. And then weightlifting, you can kind of do your different loads throughout your entire cycle. So for me, I really like to actually weightlift in my luteal phase because I slow things down and do shorter workouts. So you can sync your bone healthy exercise with your cycle syncing, and this is helping you prep for menopause. And the reason we're talking about bone health is estrogen is very protective, actually for cardio tissue, which we're going to get into in a second, and also bone mass. And so estrogen is important for both of those things. When we get into menopause, estrogen is no longer at the levels it was at, and that is what's causing us to lose bone mass very quickly and muscle mass, and can have to do with weight gain at times. And so building this bone health now is giving you the starting point, because you're going to lose it as you get older, but the more you build, the stronger bones you have now, the better it is. Also, another thing a lot of people don't know is if you are trying to conceive or you have had babies or you're currently pregnant, calcium can be pulled and leached from your bones if there's not enough in circulation for the baby. So the baby gets what they need, but it gets taken from your bones. And so we want to really also focus on bone building for all life phases. That's the fun thing about all these tips is like they're good for now too. They're really important for now too, but it's also for your future self. So exercises to build bone health, and then also really focusing on calcium-rich foods, vitamin K-rich foods, and vitamin A-rich foods are all going to be important there. Dietary considerations. So of course, I'm a dietitian. I want to talk about food, and it's not what you think. Like when people are like, oh, dietary considerations, what am I not supposed to eat? It's the opposite. Here are the things that we want you to eat. So one, embracing a nutrient-rich diet focused on whole foods, blood sugar balance in your 20s and 30s is going to reward you tenfold in your 40s, 50s, 60s forever. Because this is going to be key in one, like we talked about, bone mass. Two, feeding your body and your muscles for muscle mass. Three, getting enough fiber, which is so important for your gut health. Keeping your blood sugar balanced, which is important for pretty much every aspect of health. And four, we want to be feeding and nourishing our bodies now, just like I mentioned, with calcium can be taken from your bones if a baby needs it. You know, this kind of like our bodies are just going to need more nutrients as we age. And if we can establish those amazing, healthy eating patterns now that are not restrictive, that are not diet culture focused, because here's the deal, diet culture and diets hurt everyone, but they're really going to hurt you if you don't build up these stores now. And I'm not trying to fearmonger. I'm not trying to make everyone freak out. I just want everyone to understand the reality is if we don't feed our bodies, they will break down. So really establishing a nutrient dense whole foods, blood sugar balanced diet in your 20s and 30s is setting you up for the rest of your life. It's something that your future self will thank you for. And I even look back at, you know, the gut problems I'm currently experiencing because of like past eating disorders and the stress that it's caused me. And I wish I could tell my younger self, like, I just wish you could focus on eating healthy and nourishing your body and really loving on your body. Doing that is putting us in a great place for menopause. Okay, the last one, avoid smoking and vaping. I know that vaping is big and popular, and I don't want to tell you guys what to do, even though that's kind of what this whole podcast is turning into. Take it or leave it. These are just tips that I want everyone else to know about. But there is a significant amount of research, specifically smoking. There's not as much research on vaping, but understanding that they can go hand in hand, it can actually send you into earlier menopause. So avoiding smoking or vaping, quitting now is going to help you in menopause. So that is just, there's not a ton of research, but I thought it was important to put that in there because, you know, if no one's told you, now you know. Now I've told you. So the next thing I think is really important throughout your entire life phase, and I wish that this was more talked about, and I know that there is a financial component to what I'm about to talk about, but, it's important. So establishing your baseline, which I touched on earlier. So one, on understanding your hormonal norms from an observational standpoint, cycle length, ovulation date, symptoms, all these other things. But I also think it's really important to see what's going on under the hood. And so I'm going to run you through some lab tests that I do on a yearly basis and why I think they're important. So number one, just getting your complete blood count. So CBC, just important to track for health. Lipid profile. So that book that I'm reading, Outlive, it's been mind-blowing because what I learned in school about heart disease, like as I was going through my dietetics degree, was really like that younger people didn't have to worry about it. It was later in life, unhealthy diets. And guys, it's just not true. Like heart health is very hereditary, and understanding where you are now can set you up so much better when you're in menopause because, as we know, estrogen is protective for cardio tissue. So in menopause, when we don't have estrogen anymore, you can see a big spike in heart disease. A lot of people experience high blood pressure during their menopause transition and perimenopause. So we want to understand where our heart health is standing. And then lipid profile, like cholesterol, very hereditary. Something that you should know. And if we are looking in our 20s and 30s and we're doing this yearly, we can see what's going on and we can track it and we can get ahead of things. Next is a vitamin D test. So I have Hashimoto's, which I've talked about on here before, and I struggle to keep my vitamin D up, even if I'm in the sun constantly and taking a supplement. So understanding where your vitamin D is, because vitamin D is really important for bone health. So vitamin D and calcium work together to really get those that calcium into your bones and keep you healthy. So we have to have adequate vitamin D for that. Gut health assessment. So on TikTok, I'm on TikTok way too much, but here's the deal. I have experienced bloating almost my entire life, and I have really been diving into that, like deep diving, and it's how I found out I had Hashimoto's. It's how I found out I can't have gluten. It's a lot of different things. Getting a gut assessment now is going to be so important because our gut is how, I mean, first off, dopamine is in your gut, so mood. Next, we've got nutrient absorption, which if your gut's not functioning properly, all those expensive supplements you're taking and all the good food you're eating, it's not even getting absorbed. And then also, women have a way higher chance of being constipated. And we want to get into all of this now. Let's get into it now. Let's get it fixed. Let's get it assessed. And then we can just feel better now, but also later. So gut health assessment, thyroid function. You know, I wish I would have done this earlier, but now I have my baseline. Now I have my plan. So, and when I talk about thyroid function, I'm not just talking about your standard T3, T4, TSH, which are your thyroid hormones. I also think if you suspect something's going on, look at antibodies, because my TSH was high. It was at 4, which is like the upper limit, but my antibodies were over 500. Which they're supposed to be less than 34. And a normal thyroid panel would have never caught the antibodies and they would have been like, oh, you're at the high range of normal, but you're fine. And I wasn't fine. So that's my push on thyroid function. I think that we should all test that. Next, we want to look, I test ovarian reserve. So FSH and AMH. You can test these at home. You can test them through your gyno, however you want to do it. That's looking at ovarian reserve. For me, I'm still trying to figure out if I want to have kids. That's something I'm like very candidly working on figuring out. But I still want to know where I stand, because if I have all the information and I can make informed decisions, my decision might be different. So understanding that. Micronutrient assessment. This is just, are you absorbing your food the way you think you are? Are you getting enough of what you need? Because these micronutrients are important for all these hormonal reactions in our body, and we need to know where we're standing with them. If I hadn't had the vitamin D test, I wouldn't have known I was low because I thought I was getting enough. Same with B12, but I was low in both and needed like mega doses relating back to my Hashimoto's. So we can just get the full picture when we have this baseline. Next is a Dutch test, which I've talked about the Dutch test on this podcast so many times. You guys know that I love it so much. I literally got certified and started working with clients again because I just believe in the power of this test so much, which has been really fun to be back doing that and like back in the throes of really getting to like one-on-one help people. I'm liking that. But Dutch testing, I do it every year. I've also got my husband doing it. They have like a Dutch test for men as well. So, you know, I think we also need to encourage all the men in our lives to start thinking about their hormones, because it's not just us that needs to worry about it. Not worry, prepare. So that was a lot. I'm going to put all that in the show notes. And look, that not all of that is going to be covered by insurance. And I understand it's expensive. Here's where I would start. Talk to your doctor, your gyno, your naturopath. Figure out what's covered. Do what's covered as your starting point. You don't have to do all this today. And then like the Dutch test, like that's something I save up for. I know it's important. And then the thyroid test, I did pay a little extra for, but I had a feeling something was going on. And then when my insurance ended up covering it because they did find something. So I threw a lot at you with lab testing. Just start with what's covered. Ask your doctor. You can reach out to your insurance company. Start with what's covered. And last but not least, the most underrated tool we have. Monitor menstrual regularity and confirm ovulation. So here's the deal. If you know now, like if you're not ovulating, if you're having irregular cycles, let's work on that now. Because if you've been regular your whole life and then in your late 30s, you start to notice you're not regular or you're consistently irregular, it's like, okay, we got to start thinking about there's something, perimenopause is coming, there's something new going on, we're on top of it. So that was longer than I expected, but I just wanted to share all of that information with you guys because I think it's important that we all work on this together and really when we're all going through menopause, like so we can be open about it so that we're prepared so that we know all the things our moms wish they would have known. Because talking with my mom, I'm learning a lot. I'm getting a lot of information that I didn't have before. And then I'm just going and looking to see what the peer-reviewed evidence is on it. And then I'm bringing it back to you guys. So thank you for hanging out with me. I love getting to talk to you guys about hormones. I love getting to spend this time with you every single week. And I appreciate you making this podcast part of your routine. If you know someone, really anyone of the period, send them this episode because this is what we need to know. We need to prepare. And then also let me know either on Funkit Wellness Instagram or Carbs and Kate, which is my Instagram. Let me know what you guys want me to cover next. I'm going to do more of these solo episodes that are more of like a bullet point checklist deep dive because I know you guys don't have a lot of time. So I want to get you in and out in these like 20 minutes so that you can have your checklist, you can learn for the week, and you can make your life better and have a better period. And I'm going to be starting to take my client roster is already completely booked for October, which I can't even believe, but I'm going to be taking on new clients in November. I will put the waitlist sign up form at the bottom of the podcast because I'd love to get to work with you guys and help you out one-on-one. So have the best day. If you liked this episode, let me know, leave a review, and I'll be back with you next week.